This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on the Fan is brought to you by Better You Today Weight Loss. Here's to a better you. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com. Hit get started today, and here's to a better you.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
At the club, Club 1080.
I don't know how ever big they were at. Do we not know how that's worked? Quite a many days.
I did it here today.
Yeah, you pretty are. I feel like a total idiot. This is a conversation that I've tried to have. I digged a little bit.
This is much ado about not a whole lot of nothing. The era has become.
He is a five-star douche magoo.
Yeah,
well played.
Douche magoo.
Well played.
Dave Bartu. That was Dave Bartu. He's not a douche magoo, but
no. He
coined the term douche magoo. I haven't heard that anywhere else.
No, I have not.
Is that a Dave exclusive?
It's possible. Dave does come up with many a thing.
I feel like he wanted to say douche canoe,
yeah.
And then magoo slipped
yeah.
out, and it was even funnier.
I'm not going to lie.
That's
like,
right.
Because douche canoe has been a staple for many, many years, but I kind of feel I'm about to replace douche canoe with douche magoo.
He is a five-star douche magoo.
Ah, well played.
All right.
Focus, whatever.
Well, in honor of...
What the hell's going on?
Last night, Louisiana was the scene for sports, right?
Yes.
I mean, the Superdome and all those crazy drunk hicks from Louisiana partying on Bourbon Street. By the way, you've been watching that Bourbon Tucky thing on an Audience Network at all?
The who and the what?
I think that's what it's called. There's a show... You know the Audience Network?
Yeah.
Which has kind of...
Is that Mark Cuban's thing?
I believe that's only on DirecTV. Yeah. I don't think Comcast
I don't have
has
it
that.
Anymore.
Oh, you don't have it?
Yeah,
no.
I don't have that either.
I think it is. I think it's a DirecTV thing. Because I remember when I had DirecTV years ago, they had like concerts on there all the time. But I don't think I have that on Comcast.
Well, the Audience... I just happened to catch this the other day. Because I usually just scroll right through Audience. Mm-hmm. But... They'd
always have like an Iron Maiden concert on,
yeah.
from like Chile or something. There'd be 80,000 people there.
I tell you what, I love watching live concerts on TV.
I'm with you.
I think that's great.
Yeah,
and I don't even care who the band is. I like to see what they're all about and how their shows go. And
sure.
Anyway, they're airing a documentary called Bourbon Tucky,
mm-hmm.
and they're going around to all the. They're just talking about the rise of bourbon in Kentucky, and they go to all the distilleries and talk to the distillers, and it's really interesting.
Huh.
And one of the things on there is they don't quite fully know, but they think that the term bourbon comes from Bourbon Street in Louisiana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I honestly never thought about it? I never thought about it. It was always Bourbon Street, and you're always like, oh, it's party there. But I would assume that Bourbon Street in New Orleans came before bourbon, right?
Like, it did, yeah. But there's some debate about, because they're French down there, you
sure.
know, they're settled by the French.
Yeah.
And so bourbon in Kentucky was like nobody was really drinking it. And so they had to try to, this is one theory. One theory is they had to try to get the folks down there in Louisiana and the French speaking folks and all those folks that settled down there to like their product. And so they called it bourbon.
Okay.
Because, well, Bourbon Street. But that's just one.
Yeah, I kind of Googled it, and I was like, the name, like, origin, and it says...
they don't really know, do they?
They don't really know, but it says that one of the theories, that it mainly derives from the French bourbon dynasty.
Yeah.
Although the precise interpretation for the whiskey's name is uncertain, contenders include Bourbon County in Kentucky, Bourbon Street in New Orleans, both of which are named after the dynasty.
Right.
Bourbon has been distilled since the 18th century. So yeah, you're right. It sounds like there really isn't any sort of consensus.
But they drank French brandy.
Yeah.
You know, and so they didn't like American bourbon. So that's why or the whiskey, you know, that they made.
Yeah.
And so they changed it. One theory is they changed it to bourbon to get them to like it because they were down there on Bourbon Street. Any hoosies. Cajun versus Creole. Now, a lot of Americans. Now, this is in honor of them. This last night was their night.
Sure.
So I saw a documentary on this some time ago, and I had to refresh my memory on it today. But most Americans don't know the difference between Cajun and Creole or what Cajun and Creole even is.
Now, I do not. I kind of always just lump them into one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One group.
Right.
Whenever I say, like, New Orleans food, I'm like, yeah, Cajun, Creole, whatever it is.
So, Mike, aren't you going to New Orleans soon?
We haven't planned it yet, but yeah, we are likely going next month at some point.
New Orleans is fantastic. If you haven't been down there, I just think it's so cool that the United States has a culture like, we just have such different cultures, you know, and that is one that is quite unique. I mean, it's really the only, like, think of it this way. In the United States, other than Spanish, which is common, what other area is bilingual in another language outside of Spanish? I mean,
in the United States, I don't know. I mean, in Canada, obviously you have
Quebec.
You have Quebec and
but
French.
Not here.
No.
And there is a tie in there, but it's
maybe Hawaii, but
yeah, it was the pigeon.
We don't have that. I mean, it's just not.
No.
I mean, we've got a lot of European in us, but you know, if it's English or it's Spanish. Down there, it's French still. I mean, it's not a lot.
Am I wrong here? And I could be totally just, you know, head planted. But Creole is French and African American, right? Like, and then do you have some island in there as well? Like you talking about like from the Dominican Republic, Jamaica.
You want to start with Creole, or you want to start with Cajun?
Let's start with Creole because we're already kind of entering
I just kind of assumed it was all the same thing, and I don't even know, to be honest with you, if I'm right. I guess that's just my best guess.
It's not the same.
That is.
It's different. So Cajun is sort of a half English, half French dialect that is not its own language because it's pretty compatible with French. Okay, so Cajun is an ethnicity that came from, so like when you were talking about Quebec, when the French were up there, you know, the French and Indian War, which is what we call it, they were, the French and the Indians were allies, right? So they fought the Brits. When the Brits won, the French were kicked out of Acadia, which is east of Quebec up in Canada. They kicked them out to make room for more Brits when that war ended.
Okay.
So the Acadians in Canada,
they migrated
and they migrated south for a lot of different reasons, but a lot of them ended up in New Orleans and in Louisiana, and that is where the term Cajun comes from. It comes from the word Acadia.
Wow.
No idea.
So they're different. So this happened in the late 1700s when the British won that war. Creole is a subset that began when the French settlers of that era started doing it with the slaves.
Okay, so that's what that's
you were on.
Is it the same?
You were onto something.
French people that came down from Acadia, or is it different French people who settled from France itself?
Okay, so it's a little bit later. It's those folks, but now you're mixing in African American, and you're also mixing in because the Spanish came in there too, so you're mixing in a lot of different ethnicities to make Creole.
I wanted to be a little more
diverse,
like sensitivity towards that, but I always thought that it was the French and then the slaves.
The majority. So if you're Creole, majority you are African.
Okay.
Next is European. But there's also other. There's Native American. There were a lot of Native Americans down there.
Some Spanish,
like
flair.
Caribbean, West Indies kind of stuff.
Yes, yes. There's all that stuff. So that's very different than Cajun. But their language is called Creole, whereas Cajun is a dialect. And the language is Creole because it differs so much from French that you can't really tell that it's its own language.
Okay.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So Cajun is just a dialect because it's basically French. Creole is it's a complete other language. So they say there are about 200,000 true Louisiana Creole still down there. And many were displaced by Katrina. You know?
Yeah.
So they're
spread out.
So now a lot of them are in Houston or, you know, Little Rock or wherever.
Yeah.
And but there are far more Cajuns. They say there are over about 1 million Cajuns down there. And the voodoo thing, so you know the whole voodoo bit.
Yeah,
that
I always
they
thought that came from more of the island culture.
I thought that was Creole.
Yes, that is Creole. It's basically West African influence. And there's still a little bit of There's still a little bit of that down there.
Okay.
But bottom line, Cajuns and Creole are not the same thing, even though we use it interchangeably because it's all in Louisiana and we don't really care to think about it.
No, it all just kind of gets mushed together.
So Cajuns are of European descent. Creole are mixed race, and they are very different.
Okay. So. Well, we've learned something today.
So there you go.
And can I also say that
and a little bourbon talk.
That mixture creates some of the most, if you're down there, creates some of the most beautiful women you will ever see in your entire life.
There's that. And it's just a really interesting, fun culture.
Yeah, rich culture.
The environment down there is amazing. And of course, you know, well, they drink a lot down there. Bourbon Street.
Yeah,
but you can go off of Bourbon Street. New Orleans has a lot to see.
Yeah.
Outside of
there is a lot. That is a really cool town, even if you just, you know, you can't do Bourbon Street every night. Well, you can, but if you want to remember it, there's a lot more to do in New Orleans than just that.
All right, Meatloaf has fallen off a stage and now he's suing. He's suing the stage.
The loaf.
Did you see this video?
I have not seen the video of Meatloaf falling off the stage, but now I kind of want to.
Well, Google it because it's fascinating. That's next on The Fan. All right, did you watch the Meatloaf video?
I did see the Meatloaf video. It's one of the more awkward falls I think you'll ever see, and kudos to him for his bedazzled jacket.
So Meatloaf, the singer, not the dish.
Although I'm sure at some point there has been a Meatloaf that's fallen off a stage.
Probably so.
Maybe at some sort of potluck or social gathering.
So he was doing, I don't know. You probably could have told me he was dead and I would have believed you.
Well, he's at some sort of weird, like.
Well, he's speaking.
Okay, yeah. Because
he's not really singing. He's speaking. He's at a Hyatt Regency at the airport in Dallas.
Yeah, it doesn't really look like a real captivated audience or anything.
No, I don't know what he's doing there, but he's talking about something and he's walking along the stage and there's a bunch of people in the audience just like sitting there listening to what he has to say. And there's a curtain, and you got to watch the video because it's like the slowest fall of all time.
Well, he panics.
And it takes him forever to fall, but then he falls, and I guess he breaks his collarbone.
Yeah, well, he panics.
And he doesn't reappear, and now he's suing the Hyatt.
He panics a little bit, and he's frantically grabbing at the curtain to try to stay upright, but Meatloaf, best way to put this, he seems very top-heavy. There's a lot of baggage, top floor. And I don't think his little Humpty Dumpty legs are going to stabilize him, and so over he goes. And that's a lot of weight falling on the collarbone.
He's 72 years old.
See, that's actually, like, you're 72 and you're falling. That's dangerous.
It's not good.
No.
And he said he put his foot down on the part of the curtain that had nothing beneath it. And,
what do you mean there was nothing beneath the curtain?
I don't know. That's what he's saying. He said he lost his footing there. There was no stage floor beneath his foot. His foot and leg went down into the air, causing him to fall off the stage, resulting in serious injuries. And they're suing the Hyatt.
For what?
Well, I don't know. But it says,
why was he walking over to the curtain? Why are you stepping on curtains?
It was a question and answer panel during Texas Frightmare Weekend, an annual horror convention in Dallas, according to a complaint filed in the District Court of Tarrant County. And they're also suing Frightmare Weekend LLC.
Why is Meatloaf at Frightmare?
So much questions.
What?
He sustained injury to his neck, collarbone, and shoulder. He was rushed to the emergency room. What's interesting about, not interesting, funny, about the video, although you never want to see somebody get hurt, he falls and he never, the video keeps rolling and he never comes back up.
No, he's just gone.
And basically the people in the audience, you can just see the backs of their heads. They just sit there. Like, well, nobody...
Well, what do you do?
Well, I think you get up and go try to help him.
Well, you can't get up on stage. That's a major star.
Maybe you give him a standing O. I don't know.
You figure that someone else is there to help out. Like, if I honestly was that thing, and I think I would turn to you and be like, hey, Meatloaf just fell off the stage. Like, what do we... I wouldn't think to jump up and help him. I would think that there's someone there at the Hyatt. I don't know, like a janitor or someone that would be there to help those things out.
His complaint says that both the Hyatt and Frightmare were negligent when setting up the stage and building in a way that allegedly created a trap and a hidden hazard. He says, in setting up the stage, the defendants hung curtains from a tall frame. The curtains came past the bottom of the stage where participants were walking and hid where the stage ended. Therefore, when viewing the stage from the participant standpoint, one would be unable to determine how much space they had to walk. So now he wants their money.
Wants some of that Hyatt Regency money, does he? I'm guessing, I mean, it's a hotel chain.
Totally.
If he were at a, I'm guessing there's a little coin there.
If he were in an arena and this happened, do you think he sues? Probably not. It's Hyatt. He's like, oh.
Well, you're suing someone.
I can get somebody some money out of them.
Look, clearly Meatloaf's career is not soaring right now because he's appearing at a Hyatt Regency at Fright Fest. So something tells me that Meatloaf could fall anywhere, and I mean anywhere, and he's suing someone. He's lucky, or you're lucky that he didn't fall outside of your house. He'd be suing you next. He'd want some of that rap, you know, the rich family rap money. He'd be coming after you.
Well, I guess he's fallen off. This is like the third time he's fallen off a stage.
Well, again, see, top heavy. He's not made for high winds. He needs like a tripod sort of thing, or like an old person walker, because he's clearly not meant to. He's not meant at this point to be upright. He's quite.
What's
he's
his
quite
deal?
Roly and or poly.
Was he good? I don't know much about him. I just know. I would do anything for love or whatever that song was.
I think I know nothing about him other than that song.
He's famous.
Was he good? Was Meatloaf good? Because I don't know the answer to that. I haven't consumed enough of his works.
His name is Michael Lee Addy. I'm reading about Meatloaf. To be honest with you.
So you don't know either.
I don't.
Does anybody know?
Here's the thing about Meatloaf. Everyone knows who Meatloaf is. Everyone's familiar with at least one thing that Meatloaf has done, the Bat Out of Hell. He was in Fight Club, where he had big knockers. And outside of that, I don't think a lot of people know anything about.
Wait, he was in, that was him in Fight Club?
Yeah, David Paulson. His name is David
Paulson. That's
Meatloaf? That's Meatloaf.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Really?
Yeah, none.
Yeah, that's Meatloaf. But I don't know much about him. He was in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. But I don't know.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, he's made a lot of music. Like, he's got a ton of albums.
Have
I don't know anything other
any
than
of them been successful?
Well, define successful.
Well, I think we go to celebrity net worth.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. He has 13 albums, dude.
Yeah, I can name one song.
Me too. I got one. But I won't do that.
Yeah, the gal in that video, by the way, smoking hot. $25 million.
That's how much he's worth?
According to Celebrity Net Worth. What?
Oh, my God.
What?
$25 million.
That's not that. I mean, I thought maybe more.
Well.
I thought maybe more.
He's filed for bankruptcy.
Oh.
So.
Okay. All right.
So no longer $25 million?
Well.
How does that affect your net worth?
Yeah, I guess he's had some struggles here and there, but my guess is there's probably a divorce or two. There's probably a lot of cocaine.
I picture a lot of
that's a good life though.
A lot of really expensive trinkets that you and I would look at and go, why would you buy that? But he'd pay like $8 million for it, you know. Kind of like
Nicolas Cage.
Nick Cage.
Right?
That's what I picture.
He's buying like dinosaur heads and
right,
whatnot.
Right.
Now I'm reading through about Meatloaf. If this means anything to you, VH1 ranked him as the 96th greatest artist of hard rock of all time.
Oh, shut up.
All right. Is that good?
Yeah.
96.
Right?
Top 100.
You made the list.
He's top 100.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
But I think that's pretty...
It's pretty good. Hey, I mean, he's got a long career.
I'm not top 100 on VH1's
Look, I'm
artist
sorry.
List.
Granted, that song is well known. If you have one song that people know, you're not a top 100 hard rock artist of all time.
Well, but when you say people know, I think we may be the ignorant ones here. Like, he's had a long... rather illustrious career.
Well, I guess, say, don't you dare say illustrious.
Okay, so I guess he's big overseas. He's not. He was not a big success in the United States. But I guess overseas in Britain and in some of those markets in Europe, he was really popular.
How dumb are they?
Yeah, so I guess that's the, like, he... Yeah, I'm looking here. He spent a lot of time on the UK charts. So way more successful.
Okay.
Over there than he was over here.
Well, stay upright, Meatloaf. We don't need you breaking your
or
other collarbone.
Or don't win lawsuits.
Yeah, so he the Bat Out of Hell, I thought there was two. I guess there's three.
Yeah.
I never heard
albums.
Bat Out of Hell 3, Monster on the Loose. But those three albums combined, you know, have sold more than 50 million copies.
No one ever does that with albums, like 1, 2, 3, you know?
No, he does.
Like they rename them.
I think when you're Meatloaf and you realize that, look, you got one thing, you hold on to it, right? Like, it's like Steve Guttenberg with the Police Academy movies. He's like, yeah, I probably should have stopped at 4, but I've got nothing else. They're not remaking Short Circuit, so I'm going to go ahead and do Police Academy 7, 9, 14. 72 until they tell me I can't make anymore.
A lot of people bringing up Paradise by the Dashboard Lights. Yeah, forgot about that. Great song. That's a great song.
All I got is the I'll Do Anything for Love.
Can you pull up Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, please, Mike?
What is the one thing that he won't do?
What do you mean?
Well, he'll do anything for love, but he won't do that.
I don't know.
I don't know the lyrics to the song that well.
Somebody asked Stray Cats or Meatloaf. I'll go Stray Cats.
Meatloaf's more successful than Stray Cats.
Well, but I thought he was asking like personal preference.
Oh.
I thought the Cats were great. I was a big fan. This is a good tune. You don't know this tune?
I know this tune.
I'm
busy honestly looking up trying to figure out what he won't do for love.
Meatloaf.
And all the kids at school, they were wishing they were me that night. And now our bodies are so close and tight.
Anything, Mike?
This isn't good.
I don't recognize this at all.
By the way, Meatloaf didn't even write I'd Do Anything for Love.
Who wrote it?
Jim Steinman.
Greatness.
I feel like that's enough of this.
I'm digging it.
Rob's enjoying it, so I was just letting it go until he told me no.
Yeah, all right. Well, I don't know. I don't know what to say about Meatloaf.
Well, we know that he's kind of old, and he's sweaty, and he's falling off stages.
Yeah,
and if you do fall off a stage and break your collarbone, sue.
And it's right there in the song. He won't leave her. That's the thing that he won't do.
That's what he won't do?
That's what they're saying.
Because on Wikipedia, it says that the meaning is unknown. So he'll do anything for love, but he won't leave?
Right.
So she wants him to leave. So he's a stalker. That's a little weird. Please leave. No. Not going to do that.
Stalker with a broken collarbone.
Yeah, it's a little creepy, Meat.
And a bunch of money from the Hyatt.
I guess.
All right. What is next, you ask?
I don't know.
Free the nipple.
Well, it's about time. I free mine every night.
Did you see this? The Supreme Court had to rule on freeing the nipple.
It is weird that the nipple is such
a
polarizing thing.
It really is. It went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Well, like Janet Jackson's nipple brought us all to our knees.
God, I know.
It wasn't even that good of a nipple.
We'll get to that.
And you can show everything but the nipple.
Yeah.
You can have over, underside, anything you want.
So odd.
But the nipple makes an appearance, and then we lose our S.
It is really odd. We'll get to that story next. Here's Mike with SportsCenter. So do you remember? When
restart?
You remember those two women who did the whole free the nipple movement? They started the whole free the nipple movement on social media.
Yeah, they were at the World Series.
Oh, well, you're talking about this past World Series?
Yeah.
No, this was before that.
But I thought there was a thing at the World Series where some gals tried to free the nipple. It's been a thing for a while.
Which, it has
by the
been.
Way, I support it.
It has been a thing for a while. And I too support it.
You know?
For women that, you know, not all women want to free the nipple.
No, but those that do
should be allowed to, right?
Yes, I'm allowed to free my nipples. Why can't someone else?
Yeah, and it's like you brought up, it's so funny how you can show
anything
of the boobie.
Yes.
But if there's an ounce of nipple showing, it's like blasphemous.
Well, the most,
but then somebody else brought up that you can actually show the whole thing, but if it's covered by something that's still see-through, you can see the nipple, but it's still covered, and that counts okay.
You can go to like a peeler joint, and there, like, you have to have something like a sticker like over the top of it.
Well, yeah, like, but you could also have like a see-through thing,
and that's still okay,
and totally see the nip, and then that's okay because it's covered. I don't know.
When did we become so freaked out about the nipple? It's very strange.
Well, I think we've always been freaked out about the nipple.
I know, but why?
Yeah, that
used to be freaked out by shoulders and that's ankles.
Yeah, exactly. It's getting better, but it's getting better. But the
not dead yet.
The Supreme Court. So I guess the free the nipple movement went all the way to the Supreme Court. I didn't know this until I saw their ruling the other day. It was yesterday. They made the ruling on this.
I thought the Supreme Court said no, that they're not going to hear it.
No, they ruled on it.
Oh.
Oh, you're right. No. Yeah, that's how they always do this. It goes to the Supreme Court, and then they decide if they're going to rule on it, and most of the time they don't.
Yeah, the Supreme Court.
They chicken out.
The Supreme Court doesn't hear all this crap.
Yeah, they're going to we don't want to hear that.
Yeah, I'm done with this.
Yeah, so the Supreme Court decided not to free the nipple, refusing to hear an appeal by the three women fined by a city in New Hampshire for exposing their breastises in public. And their argument was that banning female but not male toplessness violates the Constitution.
It does seem a bit ridiculous that men can go topless wherever you want, but a woman goes topless. And we talked about this a while back. There are, I think there's 9 states where it is legal for women to be topless wherever they want. They can cruise around.
So they left in place a ruling from 2019 by New Hampshire's top court, which upheld the women's convictions for violating an ordinance. One of them was doing like naked yoga or something. She was on the beach. She had her top off and she was doing yoga, and they arrested her.
That's the most ridiculous arrest ever.
Yeah.
It's almost as bad as my jaywalking ticket. What the hell?
So the
I want nipples free and the ability to drunkenly walk across the street from one bar to another.
So the women Heidi Lilly, Kia Sinclair, and Ginger Piero were involved in the Free the Nipple movement, which court papers described as campaigns against sexualized objectification of women, and in favor of women being able to go topless in public if they wish. So Piero, Ginger, was arrested on the beach where she was performing yoga while topless. Lily and Sinclair were both arrested days later while topless on another beach where they were protesting Piero's arrest. So they were all fined.
It is. But you're not arrested, right? It's just like a ticket.
They were given suspended fines of $100 on condition of subsequent good behavior.
You kept your nipples in check, and then we just let you go free. By the way, I looked it up. It's 6 states, and by the way, Utah is one of them.
Where what?
You can go topless.
Really? Utah? That's
Utah.
An upset.
Yeah.
How is that?
The 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, I guess it covers Utah, Colorado, Wyoming, New Mexico, Kansas, and Oklahoma. So when they made their decision, that freed up women across all 6 states that they can go nips out. Nips up in public. So if you live in Utah, Colorado, Wyoming, New Mexico, your beautiful home state of Kansas, or Oklahoma, if you're in the panhandle, take them out.
I just don't understand why we're so.
Well, someone has to think of the children, right?
And, you know, religion.
Yeah, it comes from the church. A lot of it comes from the church.
That's where the devil suckles. at the power teat. You can't allow that to happen.
But the Europeans, the free-swinging Euros, they got it. They're better about this.
They've got it way figured out. If you go over to Europe spend any time there, you're going to see some stuff.
You will.
Unfortunately, most of the time you see it, it's not good. And that's what people need to realize is this idea. Like, if you ever
it's not
going to
be all models just walking around naked out
exactly.
there.
Exactly. Have you ever been to a nude beach? Like, most of the time you go to a nude beach, you're like, oh, man, nude beach. And then you get there and you're like, it's not.
Should have gone to a regular beach.
Yeah, you know, it's not like the Playboy Mansion. A lot of times it's like olds and it's hippies and it's not such a good thing. But it should be allowed.
Can I also throw in that being nude at a beach just seems very uncomfortable? Sand everywhere. It's already uncomfortable going clothed to a beach because of where the sand gets afterwards. Then you're going naked?
You've never been nude on a beach?
No, that is what I'm kind of alluding to here.
It's very freeing. Well, then you don't know.
Well, I'm sure it's freeing, but I get annoyed at like the sand that I find in my shoes 6 days later.
Much less your cracks.
Yeah, what happens with the cracks and the crevasses?
Well, you're not rolling around.
Sand has a way. Yeah, sand has a way of finding. Yeah, it can find its way into some pretty dark
some
places.
Nooks and crannies.
Look, I'm here to tell you that being naked in public is
nooks
fantastic.
Nooks and panties.
I'm a big fan of it.
Well, there are no panties.
Well, why? Yeah, I don't really understand the concept of a nude beach either. Like, why not?
This just be a beach.
Why not like nude movies?
Yeah, you choose to gear down, gear down.
Nude grocery shopping.
Yeah, why not nude like sports, like sporting events?
Well, they have those. I mean, they have nudist colonies. I think that's the whole thing. But that gets a little weird.
What if the WNBA went shirts versus skins?
Why does it have to be the WNBA? Why can't it be?
Because
the
they're
NBA?
Female. NBA, who cares?
Shirts. Sure. By the way, so you didn't have this because you weren't a chubby kid. But if you were a fat kid, there was no more terrifying thing in the world than when you were at basketball practice and you were doing shirts and skins.
Oh, my God. I would never participate in shirts and skins.
Mike just runs out. No!
No, like, I would make sure I was doing the other activities that day. If there was a shirts and skins game, it was either I'm wearing a shirt or I'm not playing.
Why was that?
Dude, sixth grade
and you
weren't
tall me to play.
There was nothing more terrifying when the coach was like, shirt, skin, shirt. You're like, please, for the love of God, shirt.
Do not make me take this shirt off.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Oh, it's one of the dangers of being a fat kid, man. And that now you can't do that anymore, but
I couldn't wait to take my shirt off.
Rob's gearing down. Oh, and you're a little portly Swedish boy.
So do you look back on that and go, how do you view that now? Do you go, okay, we were probably a little too sensitive to it.
Oh, well, now it's, you know, you're like, whatever.
No, but looking back, it doesn't change because I would have been picked on for it, guaranteed, right? You would have been bullied for it. So why put yourself at risk for that if you don't have to?
With your little man boobs out there?
Yeah, exactly.
Put them on the glass. When you were a kid, like when
you're running when you're playing basketball too, so there's going to be flopping.
Dude, when I was a kid, like when you were a little fat kid.
So that was truly terrifying,
It was. Like, I'm going to say there was like probably like a 5 to 6 year window there where 90% of my social time was spent just trying to keep my shirt on. Like, it's like, hey, I'm having a birthday party. You're like, awesome, it's a pool party. You're like, God, no! Then you had to, like, pretend to fall in the pool with your shirt on, and you're like, well, my shirt's already on. Might as well just leave it on.
No, see what I did.
Scoliosis testing, that one got you. You're lining
that
up for
true.
You're lining up for health day, and you have to like weigh. You have to like, you had to get weighed in front of all your other classmates.
You have to take the shirt off and bend over so they can check your spine. What I always did at the pool was I would as rapidly as possible take the shirt off and jump into the pool and then stay neck down the entire time. Mm-hmm. Because once you're in the water, no one's like looking under the water to see what you got going
on. Exactly. You
got to
get in the water as fast as possible.
So as quickly as I could, and then I would make sure I got out of the pool next to where my towel was, and I made sure my back was facing everybody until I could dry myself off and quickly put the shirt back on, which led to the shirt getting wet almost every single time because I dried off too quickly because I didn't want to be shirtless, and then I would have my shirt back on.
And then I reached a point, like, honestly, like, probably, like, 9th, 10th grade where it just was like, yeah, I don't give an F. But when you were like a little kid, oh yeah, man.
I didn't reach that point until like 2 years ago. I still didn't want to be shirtless in public.
Now my shirt's off like 90% of the time. But like when you were a kid, it was terrible being a little fat kid. You just were horrified that at any given moment you were going to end up in a situation where your shirt might have to come off. You're like, God damn it.
Did they ever take fat? Like, I don't remember when this was, what grade, but I remember lining up and them doing body fat tests on us. Did you ever have to do that?
I don't know about body fat testing, but I remember we had like a health day. Where
you know, they had like the little calipers where they just test your...
I just remember like there was a health day and like you had to take off your shirt to do scoliosis testing. And then while your shirt was off, they weighed you in front of everyone else. And we were just, oh, it was horrible.
We did not have that at all. We had the scoliosis testing, but we never had to be weighed in front of other people. We would just give like the doctor. You would go to your doctor, get a checkup, and you would just give the doctor's note to the nurse. Or
who was fatter, Mikey or Suki?
I don't know. We compare chubby little kid photos.
Well, you played football.
Yeah,
I did not. So I won. I mean, it was more like acceptable for you to be heavy in that sense, where for me it was not.
Now, were you like chunk, or?
I always held it really well. In my pictures, I never looked that heavy, but I was really heavy.
Were you always tall?
Yes, that helped.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I wasn't like.
Because you're tall too.
Yeah, I wasn't like a. Look, let's be honest.
Like, Chunk is short.
Yeah, there's always, like, believe me, there were other kids that I felt worse for than me. It's just, you know, you're a big kid, and before you start lifting weights and kind of growing into your body, you're just like a soft, doughy, like, sixth grader.
And Big Macs were delicious.
Yeah. I mean, you grow out of it, but yeah, when you were, like, little, I was a little portly sucker.
Well, see, that was not the case for me. I was actually really fit until about sixth grade, and it was I was in school got really difficult and I had less time to like go out and do stuff. And I remember quitting. I remember I told you guys I did Taekwondo when I was younger. I quit Taekwondo because I didn't
have
time.
Aren't you a black belt?
I am, yes.
I was gonna karate chop your ass.
I quit Taekwondo because I just didn't have time anymore because of all the homework I had. And then I very rapidly gained weight because that was my activity. I did it like 4 or 5 days a week, and then I stopped doing anything and I just ate. So that was around sixth grade is when I really gained weight. But I was pretty fit before that.
Yeah, all right. All right, John wraps it up next on The Fan. All right, somebody texted and said, it must have been hard being the big boy and the poorest kid in your private school, Mike.
Yeah, feel bad for you.
The plight of Mike Lynch.
Led to a lot of bullying, it did.
Being the poorest kid in your private school?
Well, being fat, too. It doesn't help.
Hi, John.
Boy, you guys are just hitting the ball out of the park with this whole conversation. I'm laying in the corner twitching just from memories of this stuff.
Yeah, it's tough, man. The chubby kid spent a lot of time.
The only thing that saved me, was that I was also the biggest kid. So the bullying and the making fun of being the fat kid was always hinged a little bit with the, that kid's like three times our size. What if he just goes Ralphie on us and kicks our butt?
Yeah, football was my saving grace. I was always really good at it, and so that kind of gave you an out.
Right, yeah. That's the whole thing. Do you remember, I don't know if you guys talked about this, do you remember the naked PE shower we had to take?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that before.
It was terrifying where there was someone there monitoring you.
The teacher would bring a stool out and sit just outside the shower and watch you go in, and you got a check mark. You got graded on whether you were naked or not. That was a grade.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Don't you think that was, like, in hindsight, was there any way that was on the up and up?
No.
No.
Like, that did not have to happen. It that guy's a perv.
Except for, and it went on unchecked for years. So, like, I believe in some way that made us tougher. These days, our generation was tougher because we had to do those things, but there's no way that was tougher on the up and up.
I don't know about tougher. I remember it was terrifying.
Well, it's true, but, like, we were talking about the Penn State scandal that came out today with, like, the hazing incident. Mike sent that to me, and as I read through that, I literally said out loud to Mike, everything in that has been done to me or I have done to someone. And at no point did anyone think anything about it. Not once.
You Sandusky somebody?
No, I guess it didn't go that far. But, well, they didn't Sandusky
anyone.
That's
what they said.
They said they threatened.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah. But no, I have had, we had a defensive back named Brian Gray. He inappropriately touched me with you know what more times than I can count. It was like his favorite thing in the world to do. And I guess it's happening.
We had a guy in Pullman that like one of the like the first week we were there, he made all the freshmen get in the shower naked and line up against the wall, and then he would point out your certain flaws.
Oh my God.
Like he would go down the line and be like, okay, that guy's got man boobs, that guy's got a weird gut, that guy's got a small this, and it was just like he's like, let's just get this out in the open. We're all going to be in the shower together all year.
Oh my
so
God.
Let's just make, and it was like, that's just what you did. Like, the coaches are walking around laughing. Like, if I would have called my parents and said that happened, they would have been like, well, you should look better naked then. That's your fault.
For it's a
like,
young
it's
person.
It's like Shawshank Prison. Dude, it is.
That is horrifying.
Yes.
I mean, truly horrifying.
Yes. Yes.
Just the way it and was.
We were tougher for it.
All right. Have a good night. Love you.
All right. See you guys.
Love your body.
Let's all,
really, and I mean that.
Yeah, let's all do it. Let's just love.
Coach's show is next. So Mike just
let's one. Hate, man.
Let's hate, man. What's next?
Coach's basketball show. Coach's show.
Oh, basketball coach. Oh, yeah, because yeah. Football's over. Is football over?
It's over.
Basketball coach's show coming up next for the Ducks. We're back tomorrow, 3-7 on The Fan. Good night.
Red chips of Spain. Red chips of Spain.
He is a five-star Duke-Magoo.
Meh.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.